Bible together? Do we lead our families in a manner that honors God? Do we demonstrate godliness? Godliness, in the Webster's Dictionary, is defined as a religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties, proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands. Christian obedience. 1 Timothy 4:8 reads, "Godliness is profitable for all things." Do we inculcate, that is, teach and enforce by repetition, Christian character to our children? Does our wife and children see in us or from us the importance of God's Word, of His teachings, of gathering with the body of Christ, that is, coming to church on time? The Lord's Supper. How about offerings and working for the Lord? When we are at church, or when we're in church, do we comport ourselves in a way that is respectful towards God and the body that is the church? In Timothy, he speaks of the qualifications of elders and deacons. While it is true that not all of us men will aspire for those positions, we should seek to have those qualifications. Timothy begins with these words in 1 Timothy 3:1. Actually, that's Paul, isn't it? Paul wrote Timothy. My bad. 1 Timothy 3:1, Paul says, "It is a trustworthy statement if any man aspires to the office of overseer. It is a fine work he desires to do." What he's saying is that it's a good thing. With respect to the relation between man and his family, he says, in that same area, 1 Timothy 3:4, "He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity." Verse 5, "But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God?" Also in 1 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their households." So young men, do you want to grow up? You need to strive to have spiritual maturity sufficient to lead a wife and children. A second quality that a real man should possess, and again, these are the words that I took out from the article: personal maturity sufficient to be a responsible husband and father. Christians often speak of raising boys to be men. In the face of today's cultural onslaught, this is an important goal. However, it is not just enough. Biblical manhood is always defined in terms of functions, roles, and responsibilities. True masculinity is not a matter of exhibiting supposedly masculine characteristics, devoid of the context of responsibility. In the Bible, a man is called to fulfill his role as a husband and father. Unless granted the gift of celibacy for the gospel service, the Christian boy is to aim for marriage and fatherhood. This is assuredly a countercultural assertion, but the role of the husband and father is central to manhood. Boys must be raised to see themselves as future husbands and fathers. They must be taught what to look for in a godly wife and how to fulfill all the responsibilities that Scripture invests in a husband and father. Marriage is unparalleled in its effect on men as it channels their energies and directs their responsibilities to the devoted covenant of marriage and the grace-filled civilization of the family. Boys must be taught what it means to be a husband, how to respect and honor marriage, and how to earn the respect and confidence of a wife. Similarly, boys must be taught about the responsibilities of fatherhood. Christians must reverse generations of inattention by speaking directly and clearly to boys about their future responsibilities, including the care, training, education, protection, and discipline of children. They must aspire to be the kind of man a Christian woman would gladly marry and children will trust and respect and obey. Are we raising our children to see themselves as future husbands and fathers, or are we just letting it happen? Genesis 2:24 reads, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God has intended for it to be this way, and we need to prepare our boys and young men for their intended purpose. Our young men need to be taught about what to look for when choosing a wife. When looking for the person you wish to marry, the first question should be, are they Christian? From there, you will determine if she is godly. Of course, this implies that you are also a godly person. Again, if we're going to ask our young people to look for certain qualities in who they're going to marry, we need to teach them what these qualities are. 2 Corinthians 6:14, speaking of who you should marry or who you should be bound with, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Boys must be taught how to respect and love their wives, how to be fathers, and to honor marriage. Marriage, it says in Hebrews 13:14. Brother Darrell read that in the morning also. "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Do the boys in the church, do the young men, do they see us honoring marriage? Do they see the love we have towards our wives as husbands? I'm not saying that they should see us holding hands, hugging, giving her a kiss. I'm not saying that's bad. But what I'm saying is they should see the respect and the love that we have for our wives. Perhaps the best way to do this is to demonstrate it. Or the best way to demonstrate this is for married couples to spend time with the young people here in the church, teaching a class perhaps, or being chaperones at a youth event or activity. I think there's probably many more ways that this can be demonstrated. Boys need to learn how to be responsible fathers and how to educate and discipline their children. The Bible has things to say about this. Ephesians 6:4 reads, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord." For us who are parents, is there discipline and instruction of the Lord in our homes? Do we read the Bible to our children? Do we explain the Word to them? Is there discipline in the things of the Lord? Are we getting to church on time? What message do we give our children when we show up late to church on a regular basis? Ephesians 6:1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." For those of us with parents, do we honor them? For those of us with parents, but also have children, do our children see us honoring our parents? How about our father and mother-in-law? How about the elderly in the church or outside the church? Men, and also young men and boys, it's a great privilege to be the head of the household, but it's also a great responsibility. We need to remember also that God has given us this great responsibility to be leaders of our households. It is not meant to be abused. It is meant to be used to the glory of God. Families begin with a husband and a wife. God compares this relationship with the relationship Christ has with His church. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. To those of you who are not yet married, perhaps I'm discouraging you from getting married and leading a family. God has designed us for this purpose, and He knows what is best for us. And there are blessings that cannot be attained in any other way but through marriage and starting a family. And all of this only when done according to God's will. Do not try to reap any of the benefits of marriage without getting married. You will pay dearly for it. Do not play house or hook up with a prostitute or seek out pornography. There's nothing funny, no fun, in getting in trouble or experiencing both physical and psychological pain. For those of us who are more mature, it is our responsibility to teach our young people the correct biblical teaching of sex and marriage. Originally, I said there was 13 points. I've gone to two. I only have three here with me, so this is the last one here. The third point. A man should possess economic maturity sufficient to hold an adult job and handle money. This is Moeller's words here. Advertisers and marketers know where to aim their messages, directly at adolescent boys and young men. This particular segment of the population is inordinately attracted to material goods, popular entertainment, sporting events, and other consumer options. The portrait of young manhood made popular in the media and presented as normal through entertainment is characterized by economic carelessness, self-centeredness, and laziness. A real man knows how to hold a job, handle money with responsibility, and take care of the needs of his wife and family. A failure to develop economic maturity means that young men often float from job to job and take years to find themselves in terms of career and vocation. Once again, an extended adolescence marks a huge segment of today's young male population. A boy must be taught how to work, how to save, to invest, and to spend money with care. He must be taught to respect labor and to feel a satisfaction that comes from a job well done and a dollar honestly earned. Too many boys are coddled and entertained, demonstrating a laziness that will be highly detrimental to their future prospects as husband and father. Slothfulness, laziness, and economic carelessness are marks of immaturity. A real man knows how to earn, manage, and respect money. A Christian man understands the danger that comes from the love of money and fulfills his responsibility as a Christian steward. When speaking about financial maturity, I need to begin with giving to the Lord. As Christians, God should be at the center of our lives, and this should apply to finances. When I received my, well, maybe it wasn't the very first one, but I think it was pretty close. It was probably my first real job, if you will. But when I received my first paycheck, my first thoughts were to give a portion to God and to my family. At the time, I was still single and living at home, so by my family, I meant my mom, who would then go and use it on the family. There is something about not thinking about yourself first that puts this whole thing about money into proper perspective. The money you earn is not a result of your own efforts. It is God who owns everything, and it is Him who has given you the ability to earn it in the first place. By giving to your family next, you are acknowledging that this money you earned has a purpose other than simply a selfish one. That is, you can bless those around you with what God has given you. I don't mean that you should give it all away, though I think for some that is their conviction, but rather that you should place God first, and then those that depend on you, and then yourself. Genesis 4:4 reads, and this is very early on in the history of mankind. Abel on his part also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. It was thought about God first. A boy needs to be taught the skills necessary to hold a job and sustain himself and eventually sustain a family. At the beginning, I mentioned how these young men from the inner city lack some basic skills that hindered their ability to get a job. We need to think about helping our boys set a path for a career. By a career, I don't mean that all boys should grow up to be doctors and lawyers. What I mean is that there should be a long-term approach to how they are going to achieve this goal of working out in the world, and in such a way that maximizes their potential. It may be that they devote their lives to the ministry of the church. Maybe it's in the medicine or medical field or cleaning buildings. What matters is that they are responsible enough to hold a job and provide for their families. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What kind of testimony are we giving those outside the church if we are irresponsible with providing for our families? In our finances, does God and family come first? A boy must be taught how to respect work. Show up on time. Do what you say you are going to do, and learn how to say thank you and please. I've heard that these three things by themselves put you ahead of a huge segment of the population today. There's something sad about that. Those should be basic skills that everybody should have. But as Christians, we must go farther than this. Colossians 3:22 through 24 here speaks of slaves. I know slavery has a negative kind of connotation here in the U.S. The slavery of the Old Testament and New Testament was not what we had here in the U.S. That's a totally different study. But it applies to anyone who works for someone. I think that's everybody here. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Just recently, December 29th, it was us by Melinda and mine's anniversary. I was called into the office by my boss into a conference room, and they sat me down, and as soon as I saw the human resource person, I knew something was up. They were giving me my notice that I was getting laid off. They were giving me 30 days notice, which was really kind of them. They were not aware that it was my anniversary, nor did Melinda know until the next day. But it was something that I was expecting, but I had to ask myself, how am I going to behave in the workplace for the next 30 days? I think it was a couple of days later, we had another meeting, and they sat me down, and it was basically, we're getting ready to do a big project that had to be done in 3 weeks. The other people in the team, one of them was, his wife is going to have a baby anytime soon. The other a lady in our group, her mom was in a very bad health state, and so she was only working part-time. But yet they needed this work done. I decided that I was going to do what I could to make that project successful. Knowing that, I was already getting laid off, so I could have just decided to just say, well, I'll come in, do my 8 hours, and go home. And what happens to this project, I'm not even going to be around when you guys start making it anyways. But I decided to have a positive attitude towards it. When I left, when they told me to go, everybody came over, and several people came over, and they thanked me for my attitude. It was something that was, it was very touching that they noticed. I didn't think that they would do anything about it, but they did. And to make a long story short, my boss even said that if I left, that he would give me any kind of recommendation I wanted. As it turned out, I left. A previous boss of mine called and asked about me. And my boss gave him because he had a job that he wanted to give me. And my boss gave him the information of where to get a hold of me. I didn't actually get a job with this person, but he actually got in contact with another person who I used to work with, and so now I'm starting in April. But I must ask myself, if I had not behaved that way, would they have gone through the trouble of helping me out? It's a lesson in life. When you guys go into the workplace, there's people watching everywhere. We need to teach our boys how to manage money. There are good ways and there are bad ways. Luke 14:28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him. We need to teach our boys not to be lovers of money. What do the state-sponsored commercials for the lottery tell us about money? There's a serious problem, I think, when the state, who is supposed to be looking after us, is encouraging a vice. They are telling us, or I should say, they're very good at telling us that smoking is bad for us, and they're passing laws to just ban it everywhere, but at the same time have no problem hustling the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10. Second. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I have a strong conviction that the failure to be responsible with one's job and finances is a hindrance to serving the Lord and being a responsible husband and father. Last page. So we talked about three things here, three things that a Christian man should have. Spiritual maturity sufficient to lead a wife and children. Personal maturity sufficient to be a responsible husband and father. And number three, economic maturity sufficient to hold an adult job and handle money. A book I read called In But Not Of, and it's taken from, you know, that title is taken from the Bible, to be in the world but not of the world. Give some advice for young men who aspire to be an influence in the world, you know, as Christians. And he gives advice about, you know, what college to go to and things like that. But he has a chapter there about choosing a church and going to church. And the reason he says, let's get to that page. I'll paraphrase here a little bit. But nowhere else but inside the church will you hear a lecture on service or a talk on charity. I don't think anywhere else will you hear anyone talking about the things that I have brought here today, or even the things that are ever said on this pulpit. Honoring marriage certainly won't be taught in the schools. I know we're not seeing that on TV or the movies. The church is the place to learn those kinds of things. Brother Darrell briefly mentioned the concern he has for the future leadership of this congregation. And I'm sure that he would agree that the Bible teaches that the leadership skills need to begin in the home. I also am beginning to see that there is a need for us to continue and perhaps even escalate our training of our boys and young men to be mature and responsible men in Christ. I hope that this message has been of value to you all and is edifying to this church. Or perhaps that it can start maybe discussions on the subject of how we can improve the way we bring up and disciple our young men. Men, we have a responsibility to be real men in Christ and to teach those who are younger on how to grow up to be godly men. Young men and boys, I encourage you to seek out mature and godly men to imitate, as Paul said. Go up to them and ask them for advice and instruction. They'll be happy to help you. Thank you.
In the Cascade Mountains at the Pleasant Valley Christian Camp. And there's a brother named Ron Carlson who ministered at the Crossroads Church the last I knew. And he gave a summary about how us men find the will of God. And he said, pray like it all depends on God, and then work like it all depends on you. And that had a huge impact on me. I never forgot it. That was, 26 years ago? 22 years ago? A tremendous thought. We have a lot of responsibility, us men, but we can do it in Christ, in spite of the media. When the media is trying to feminize men, and depict us men as bumbling misfits who have to be rescued by women. I'm not putting you women down either, but Sam, you touched a hot spot with me. I feel the same burden that you do, that, you know, us men need to rise up in Christ, in love, in the truth, and fulfill our role to provide and protect. That's so true. Shall we be standing? We'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that wherever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises the standard. And we're thankful for your word that provides all the answers, Lord, to the things that might be puzzling, to the things that where the devil has assaulted the truth. Please help us to receive a love for the truth, to stay with it, and to pray like it all depends on you, and work like it all depends on us. We pray that you'll dismiss us in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.